he's being chased, but he's back on the inside, and Ty's lost his footing, but he's slid over the line. It is the most unlikeliest of tries. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It was like something from Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Back again. Good to see you. I'm Rob Linton. Welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? So, as Warrington fall and rise in the Super League table, where am I two very much descending podcasters? Firstly, it won't be too long before this old lad cannot get down the stairs. And now that that racist Thora Heard has kicked the bucket, he's the perfect candidate to take over advertising Churchill's stairlifts. Yes, it's Sam Sankey.
Excellent. Yes, great idea. New career. Like that.
And also, he's the impossible staircase that we're never quite sure whether he's going up or down. Yes, move over Escher's lithograph. He's our very own optical illusion. Introducing Dennis Waywell.
All right.
I thought you'd like a little bit of art thrown in, Dennis, at the start there.
I tell you what, you did so well with that line. I was trying to read what it was. Say it again.
Escher's lithograph.
Oh, wow. It's perfect, isn't it? Very well spoken. Mm. Yeah. Mm. What is it?
It's that sort of, you know, that drawing where you've got all those little men on it.
You're going up the stairs and down the stairs and around the stairs and back into the start.
Yeah. He didn't actually draw it. He pinched it.
Oh.
It was drawn about 5 years earlier, apparently. So there you go.
Excellent.
How have you been, Sam?
Very good, actually. Sun's come out. Summer is here. Summer will probably go next week. But yes.
Mr. London Senior and Mrs. London Senior have gone to the Lake District today.
Oh, very nice.
And they said there's a bit of a heat wave happening up there. So they were very happy about it all.
Factor 50.
I beg your pardon? What'd you...
Factor 50.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were calling me mother something then for a second then. Sorry.
Oh, that's terrible. What about you, Mr. London? What have you been up to?
A little bit disappointed because Mrs. Waywell, not Mrs. London, Mrs. Waywell has cost me $3,000 this week.
Really?
You might. But you know, I don't know if you know about this, Sam, but a few weeks ago I was watching an old episode of Time Team. They were just about to discover some Roman coins, and I'd had quite a big vegan dinner, and I thought I could probably just fart, you know, and watch the end of the show. And I followed through and shat myself, and I put it right through the sofa, and I mentioned this to Dennis on WhatsApp, to which he wrote back, Mrs. Waywell wants a new sofa before she arrives in Sydney to sit on. So we went out and bought it. And ironically, we've gone for a colour which is called rustic orange, which is exactly the same colour as the stain that I'd left behind. So
you're actually protecting yourself from future problems.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Have you left the plastic on it? Have you left the plastic on the sofa, you know, like in them American soaps, just in case?
No.
Well, I'm absolutely fine. I spent last week wild camping on Dartmoor on my own. I found a ley line that ran over Dartmoor, and I thought, I'll go up there and camp on my own. And nothing to report.
Did you see any ponies? No ponies?
No, just sheep. And the less said, the better, I think, on the sheep front. That's it.
Well, the narrative of tonight's show, boys, I think is going to cover three areas. I think we're going to start with a bit of pessimism when it comes to the league game, which I know Sam's very keen to skip over. Then optimism for the Saints match. And then after Daniel does his little bit, I thought we could sort of summarise it with realism. What do you think?
Okay.
All right. Well, if you've got nothing else to add, boys, we'll move on to the Lee match. The team was Dufty, Thulis, Ty, King, Ashton at six. Danny Walker. Sneed, Yates, Powell, Vaughan, Russell, Fitzgibbon, Curry. Interchange was Philbin, Crowther, Musgrove and Wood. Missing was George Williams. The England and Warrington captain will be absent for 2 months following ankle surgery. He will not be available for at least seven Super League fixtures and Wires Challenge Cup semi-final against Lee. Well, could Wolves find a miracle and win without Boy George? Here's the highlights.
Lamb on a sudden change of direction from Lachlan Lamb, flicks it up to Okape. Ain't that a thing of beauty?
It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle.
Well, look at this, 8 metres away, pressing that line. Okape again on the last play with O'Brien. O'Brien now skims it back, and Lamb goes, and O'Neill reaches. And has he got that down? More plays to get their heads right here. It's back with O'Brien, and into the hands of Frankie Holton, who was through the gap before he'd taken the pass.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle.
Sneed, the kick through, the chase is on, and King is there, and that is a very well executed score. King looking to carry it with menace, and a great offload, and Duffy skips away, and he's got support, and Matty Ashton will finish it off, and there is fight in the Wolves yet.
Final score, Lee 18, Warrington 14. There were tries for King and Ashton. Kicks, Sneed, kick three from three. Referee was Tom Grant. Attendance, 9,627. Now, Sam, I've just looked at the statistics this morning, and they're sort of... I watched it and thought, there's no way we're winning this, and I got that feeling all the way through the game. And we kind of nearly got home with a wet sail in those last few seconds. But looking at the stats... Lee completed 27 sets. We completed 30 carries. Lee 177, Wire 200 meters. Lee 1255, Wire 1298. I mean, it goes on and on. Missed tackles. Lee 34 missed tackles to Wire's 19. Tackle bust the other way around. Lee 19, Wire 34. Even possession, we had 51% of the possession compared to Lee's 49. The only couple of ones they really beat us on was completion rate at 90% to our 81, and post contact meters they did 554 to Wire 519. Come on, Sam, summarise. Why did we lose?
We lost because, in my opinion, it took us 50 minutes to get into the game. You're right with what you say. You watch it with your eyes. And there was no way we were only 4 points behind Lee, particularly in that first half. They had two tries disallowed, which, by the letter of the law, were correct.
Right.
I think particularly the first one, Roderick Tighe was certainly disrupted, was obstructed. But if it had gone against us, we'd all be moaning on here saying there's no way you should have wiped that off. So I think we did get a bit lucky there. And you're right, we did come home with a wet sail. But I remember seeing the team and thinking, oh, that's interesting. He's starting with the two hookers. And I looked at the bench expecting to see Stephen Ratchford there or someone like that, thinking he'll bring Ratchford on after 25, 30 minutes. And couldn't believe we had four forwards on the bench. And I felt it took us a long, long time to even understand how we were going to play.
There's a bit of a theme. Have you noticed when Kendall Minkcake's the video ref and Tom Grant is the referee, he always overrules him? You noticed that one?
Oh.
I thought Musgrove had a very good first half. Yet he made the least meters out of anyone bar Powell. He only made 19 metres and four carries, yet I thought he was the dominant carrier of the ball.
Yeah, and you thought he was going to be quids in to score a try for you,
didn't
you?
Oh, I did. I did. I nearly won £40. He was, I mean, he was robbed, wasn't he? Sends that up as a try. He gives it a try. It's funny, that one, isn't it? When the ones the refs can't see, they send some up as tries. I think there was one the other week where someone got over the line and there was no way they were going to be able to overturn it. Ball was smothered, so it's given as a try. And then that one, he didn't send up as a try. And all of a sudden...
Well, I've got a little bit on video refs this week. Do you want to wait till the second game
let's
cover
wait.
That? Yeah,
let's string that out. Yeah, definitely.
Walker at six.
Oh.
I thought he got, even though he topped the tackles at 40, I think he moved at some point, did he, Sam? He didn't play the whole game there. I think Curry came in at one point. But I thought he looked very exposed out on that edge. I thought he got knocked off a few times. Their number 11, who I looked up last night, who I thought had a very good game. I thought he was big and strong and ran straight lines. Is his name Hatton? Can't think of his name now.
Yeah, he scored a try in the second half.
Yeah, and I looked at his Wikipedia page last night, and he's sort of been at Featherstone. He was at Hull KR. He's English. He's not a spring chicken. He's about 28, 29. But I thought Walker really struggled with him. I think when he's in the middle of the field, Walker can be a real nuisance. He can go in for the tackle first. He might not complete the tackle, but there's two forwards behind him coming in to finish it off. But one-on-one, I thought he struggled. Just didn't think he had it on the edge there.
I think there was a lot talked about Danny Walker and Powell. And whether we hurt ourselves by not playing Powell at six and keeping Walker at nine, I think it was very difficult. After my initial depression of how we were playing and how I felt really down after this game and thought, if we're just going to play two hookers for the next 8 or 9 weeks, we've got nothing for us. But you can understand, I can understand on reflection what Sam Burgess was saying. Walker does run the ball, but he runs the ball from dummy half, doesn't he? He doesn't run the ball from open play, really. But
I did think a little bit he was bossing his troops around a bit. He was trying to get them to run back up, which I thought was a good sign because they are quite quiet out there at times. Did Powell play hooker the entire game?
No, Powell had to go off for a little while. That's where you mentioned. That's why Walker went back into nine, and I think Curry was playing six for a while, and Crowther was there for a bit.
Powell did what? How many minutes did Powell do? Did he do a?
I've not got that to hand, but it was during the. It was early in the second half. Powell went off
because he's not carried the ball once from acting halfback. He's not. He's made no meters and no carries. Not quite, I don't think, to the standard he was last year. I think last year we did mention him a few times because he was having dominant performances or contributing a bit more. I don't feel like he's almost just faded away this year.
I think it's the whole team, though, Rob. I looked at it and I think it might be a good time to mention that now. After the St. Helens game, Wyer sat 10th overall out of all the clubs in terms of total metres gained.
Right.
We're the third worst, again, only Huddersfield and Salford left, average metres per carry. I mean, we had 9,900 metres at 6.3. Above us, Castleford, 10,500 at 6.9.
Our pack's just not big enough? Is this what's causing this?
Well, I'm not sure it's just the pack, because last year we were the most metres made out of any team. And all we've lost, really, is Nicholson.
Mm.
You know, so, but, and we've got we're third most errors, third fewest tackle breaks. And in last year, again, we were we had the third fewest errors, not the third most errors. The whole team doesn't seem quite, and I don't think it's just one player. I think over the course of 9 weeks, we've just not quite been there.
Mm. Dennis, you're pissed?
No, not quite yet. I was just hoping that I didn't have to say much through this lead bit. And I was I was just, intently listening to you two because, you've got all every angle covered, haven't you? But in summary then, Sam, so what you're saying there, is that down to a difference in coaching this year then, if it's not really,
Or maybe other teams have got wise to the way we played them, and maybe we're trying to play the same as last year, but teams know what to expect. Although I felt we were second best for the vast majority of game against Lee, I think we finished well, and I do think in that last 6 or 7 minutes we were unlucky not to be facing 12 men. Epape, definite hip drop, and he was subsequently banned for it, and it just went on report. I mean, if it had got Simbin'd and we'd have won the game, it would have felt a bit like daylight robbery. But when you're on the cusp of not quite playing, they're the things that, if they go your way, make a big difference.
I always, that people talk about they're very obsessed with hip drops in Australia.
Yes.
I'm going to work and someone will say, "Oh, it was a hip drop." And I don't know what a hip drop is. I always look at it and go, "What's a hip drop?" I never quite. And then this week, Wayne Bennett was being interviewed. And he
Yeah.
said he doesn't know what a hip drop is. And I went, oh, there we go.
Oh,
There we go.
ah.
There we go. So,
I've got some detailed analysis here.
Oh. Oh.
What do you mean? Oh,
Just a
I've got
minute. Just a minute.
it.
Do I need a drink?
Yeah, I've noticed what you're drinking there, Sam. It's very light in colour. It looks like your own urine, if
It
you don't
is.
mind me
It's
saying.
a. It's a. Sh it's a Chenin Blanc.
Shit. Oh, you have got a semi on. Anyway, my detailed analysis here is that these players out in different positions. I think it was only very slight, but on a couple of the Lee tries, we had Curry chasing shadows at one point. We had Sam Powell getting sucked in and Danny Walker getting sucked in. And I think playing them in that, not usual position, and when they're stood in the defensive line, they don't move across the same way. They don't have the same sort of spatial awareness that somebody regularly playing in that position, and it just creates a little gap, and I think Lee just exploited it. So
I'm surprised they didn't go there more often, actually. That first half, they just had us at sixes and sevens, and then they seemed to stop. They're not very good, are they?
No, I don't think so. They are very competent, very hard-working team.
But they're third.
And I'll be disappointed if we don't win the semi-final.
Oh, they're
Oh,
third. I
okay.
think the standard of the competition, they are third. Just don't think they're anywhere near what a team should be playing at in third. Okay. Sam Burgess told BBC Radio Merseyside, "Parts of our game I was happy with. They're a physical side and tough to beat here. We probably started the second half a bit slowly and gave up two soft tries. It was a tough task to ask that. We gave it a go and missed a couple of opportunities, or the game could have gone the other way. Danny Walker enjoyed it, and if he settles into the role, the more time he gets there, the better. I thought he had a great game." I guess he's going to pat him on the back. I mean, there was no real. I do get in some regard why he went for Walker there, because he did try Ratchford there at the start of the season, and Ratchford had a shocker at six. He was in, or he was seven, whatever he was, just didn't look right. And Leyland's clearly, he's a chocolate fire guard when it comes to tackling.
The only thing I would counter against that, and it's okay, it's in hindsight, and at the end of the day,
That's a wonderful thing, hindsight.
yes, it is. Sam Burgess is an ex-modern great of the game, so knows far more than I do.
But does he, Sam? Does he, Sam?
Does
This
he? Does
is
he?
the thing, Sam. This is the thing.
Four
This is.
forwards on the bench, that was what disappointed me. There was surely a place for Ratch, because who knows? Your only half back on the pitch could get knocked out at any point during the game, and you've got four forwards on the bench. What you're going to do?
This is the argument, Rob, but before you just come in, is the fact that the argument that we've seen a lot of people saying about is that, you've kept Stephen Ratchford on, offering him an extra year, and you've got Ollie Leyland in. As you know, you're going to use them in some way, shape, or form. When the obvious opportunity comes along, you don't. So that's probably where Sam's coming from.
We did put a vote out in regard to who we, you know, we should think partners Snead in the halves. It got 285 votes on Twitter. The winner was Leyland. 36.1% thought Leyland should be given another go. Closely behind was Ratchford on 31.2%. Dufty moved from 1 to 6 at 24.9%. Only 7.7%, less than 1 in 10, thought that Walker should be at 6. So, yeah.
In Australia, in the NRL, when you've got players injured in certain positions, do they switch them around like that, or do they just bring another, like...
I think you're looking at a different team. They're so talented. You watch them warm up. It's the number... You know, it's not the number one sport amongst a certain IQ, but if you've got a certain cultural background, rugby league is still possibly the biggest entity in New South Wales and Queensland. And therefore, you've got so many talented sports people playing the sport. They all can catch and pass and throw, and they're just a different level. You know, you look at some of those players, they're never going to get to, you know, Philbin's never getting to NRL standard. He'd never get there because he'd have dropped too many balls.
So it's the depth.
Yeah. Oh, the depth would be, you'd be able to draw out six number sixes amongst you. Yeah. You know, your squad, or you would have a few centres that could just comfortably play in there because they've played in the junior ranks at six. But we're down to the skin and bones, aren't we? Of, you know, no one's playing the game over there anymore. It's on its arse.
And this is not, you've made the point a couple of times in the last couple of recordings, Rob. This is not being disrespectful to the effort and commitment of our players.
Yeah.
Because just to step on the pitch playing this game, they're not quite as adaptable. And you are, and then when you go to state of origin, you are talking perhaps the pinnacle of our sport, and they just fit the best 13 players into the team.
If you go on Instagram and you watch a show reel of a few of the NRL players on their day off hitting golf balls, they're all single-figured golfers or not far off. And then I watch them go around Walton Gardens and they're all hacking away, and you think, right, okay.
Tough course.
It is a tough course. It's a fucking long course. It takes about 3 hours to get on, if I remember rightly, on a bank holiday.
I remember playing at Walton Gardens with Rob, and he brought he did the catering. If I remember rightly, he supplied a flask of tomato soup, followed by like some kind of whiskey as a drink.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
very nice.
Yeah, very well done.
Over the dice.
Who is the best driving golfer?
Oh, wait, sorry, is this what would Rory McIlroy say?
Have we finished Lee?
Have we finished Lee? Have we got anything else? Anything else on Lee?
Nothing
at all, Dennis. He's gone again.
He's gone? Yeah.
Yeah, he's gone.
It's good when he goes.
He's back. He's drinking something.
It's a screw top just for our listeners.
That? I thought he had chalk in his hand. I thought he'd been watching snooker.
Yeah, snooker's on.
£15 for a cube of that chalk, the new chalk.
Is it?
Yeah. 15 quid. Do you know that? Have you tried that new chalk, Sam? Snooker.
I've not played snooker in ages since I got my glasses.
Yeah.
Can you put them on like... Sorry, can you put them on like Dennis? Dennis, go on. Put them on upside down.
Put him on the other side.
There you go. What do you reckon, Sam?
I think they make him look younger that way.
He does look like Dennis Taylor.
Or some kind of Nazi scientist. Round 8 Super League results. Wakefield 13, Cass 12, Hull 14, Hull KR 28, Wigan 24, Saints 12, Leeds 28, Huddersfield 6, and Catalans 38, Salford 10. It was a record total of 86,080 fans attending the games over Easter. It surpassed the previous milestone set in 2023 of 83,357. It left Warrington Wolves in ninth position, having played 8, won 4, lost 4, with a negative points difference of minus 36. Ouch. In comparison, last year in 2024, after 8 rounds, Wire were 4th with 6 wins and 2 losses and a points difference of plus 124. I mean, there it is, isn't it? That's the...
Yes.
That's the drop-off. We did put it out there on Twitter. Who is to blame for why you're sitting 9th? We got 338 votes. In 4th position, 8.3% blame the owners. Players, 26.6%. Burgess, 29.9%. But the winner... was Carl Fitzpatrick. 35.2% think that Carl is to blame. Wazza, he commented and said, whoever is responsible for the off-season recruitment is to blame. Not sure whether that's Burgess, Chambers, Fitzpatrick, or a combination of all three. We haven't built on last year, and unfortunately, yet again, we have regressed. Sitting where we are in the table isn't pretty. Andrew Lowe was a little bit similar in his views. The same defensive mistakes have been made every week. There is seemingly no plan in attack. Burgess might be a leader of men, but I'm wondering if he's a coach. Colin Rushton, he wanted to select 3 options. Noxie Wire wanted to select all 4. Mark Antrobus, he also said that he needed more than one vote. And also, a quick shout out to Mark Antrobus. He noticed that the patron link was wrong. So we fixed that on one of the sites. Sam Jones says it's definitely not just one person to blame. Gaz _ E, the attack has fallen off a cliff. That's down to coaching. Curious team selections, down to the coach. And Stuart Warburton, he was a little bit more abrupt in his views. He said, Fitzpatrick, if he's the one signing crap players. Leyland never good enough. Russell wouldn't get in any other SL team. Union winger that bad, I cannot remember his name. Should be giving the young halves a go. Hickey or Irwin, both great talents. Yeah, okay.
I think there was, I think there was quite a lot of negativity around after the feeling. Sam, you said you were feeling a bit down after this match as well. I think the further you reflect on it, and maybe with that wonderful hindsight again after the Saints game.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
You look back... And you think, well, you know what? It's just you've got to work through this next period without George Williams and stuff, and you've got to try and sort of find your feet. I agree. I think that the players are not necessarily not trying or anything. I just think they're finding it hard to adjust and playing in different positions. And I think, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time, that.
Is that recruitment, though? You know, would it be a lot easier if the recruitment had been better in the off-season? Had we thrown a few big names in there at Lee? Now, you put Bateman and Nicholson at Lee, do we win? Do we just get over the line, you know? Yeah. Is that the difference? Even Drinkwater, God forbid, if he'd been in there partnering someone, I don't know.
But Drinkwater's difficult to say because you wouldn't then have Snead. So you've not necessarily got like for like quite, but the same sort of a standard of player there.
Snead has been a panic buy and also a lucky buy, hasn't it? It's only the fact that Salford find themselves in such a terrible position that we had.
They've lost another couple of players this week.
How long do you give these sort of people, though? You know, the chance to sort of like pick the right team and things like that.
Well, let's come on to the average longevity of a CEO. So I thought this was quite interesting. Premier League CEOs last 2.75 years. Super League CEOs, on average, last 3 years. There are exceptions to the rule here, but this is the averages. NRL clubs are a little bit more lenient. CEOs last 4 years. Large businesses on the British stock market, they last 6 years, although one-third of their CEOs leave within 12 months. And NFL teams last 6.5 years.
Wow.
Fitzpatrick became Warrington's CEO on the 1st of Jan 2017. He's been in the role currently for 8 years and 4 months. I'd like a change. I've got nothing against the chap, but I just think I like to see people in business that have they want to move on. They move on because they're tenacious. They move. They don't want to stay still. And I think he's gone stale. I just think it would do everyone a favour if we had a new CEO. I think it would just lighten the mood. We do so many polls on here where the criticism is pointed towards Fitzpatrick. Whether it's right or wrong, I don't know. But yeah. 8.4 years for a CEO is too long. It's too long.
I think he does take a lot of flack. And I'm not necessarily sure it is all valid.
No.
Because we are a strange... To compare Warrington Wolves...
Orange alert.
Caveat detected.
Orange alert. Orange alert.
With, shall we say, in inverted commas, a normal business is slightly unusual. Because a normal business, your shareholders sit quietly in the background. With us, the owners are hands-on. So the CEO is probably as much a facilitator of what the owners want rather than someone doing and taking it in his own business. That's only my perception. It's only my perception. I might be wrong there as well, you know.
Whether how you look at it, and you know, there's a lot of other clubs out there that are run differently or the same as Warrington. That's just eight point four months as a CEO. It's too long. It's just too long. Just freshen it up. Freshen it up. Has he not got other bigger plans to go elsewhere?
Will the NRL offer him a job in the new administration when they buy Super League?
Would that be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
we were. I think this week there was something on the TV I caught, and they were. And it's normally Matthew Johns who clearly knows more than he lets on, or he's trying to suggest a bit like Carney, and he's mates with Carney, isn't he? But it does look like they're going to buy a third of the Super League very soon. They don't want to buy it all because I think they've realised what a mess it is. But their intention is to get 33%. I think by this time next year. But they are very keen. They are very keen to go back to winter rugby in the UK because they want the Aussie players to come over and play and basically buff out the competition.
Nick Politis has held high-level conversation with ARL Commission Chairman Peter Valandis about the potential of buying into an English club on the proviso the NRL takes ownership and control of the Super League. Now, there's talk around the Manchester Roosters. Do you like this idea? Do you think it'd be a good investment for the National Rugby League to purchase Super League?
I think it'd be great for the Super League, and I actually think it'd be very good for the NRL. But I think there's one thing they have to do, and it's a big move, and there will be some resistance. I believe if the NRL were to purchase, and they're talking at the moment about 30%, but then get a majority sharehold, I would actually seriously look at putting the English game back to a winter sport.
Yes.
So that their best players
can
come and play in our competition.
Yep.
And our very best players can go and have guest stints over there if they'd like. Now it's a very different game these days as far as, you know, the professionalism and the toll it takes on your body. But, you know, you think about this, right? Let's imagine, like, you know, they're Manly get knocked out of the competition and they're playing over in a winter sport, and halfway through the season, Tom Trbojevic goes over and decides to play 4 games with Hull Kingston Rovers.
Yeah.
Like what that does to the English game.
Yep.
Even if they go over and do a short stint. Joey went over to Warrington and had a 3-game stint. And a bloke showed me the other day on YouTube or TikTok, one of them, he showed it, and it was a 15-minute thing on Andrew being there at Warrington. It was incredible.
Wow.
It was national interest when he went there in England of him playing for Warrington. So I think it's a great move. What you're seeing over there at the moment, the really powerful clubs are starting to buy into the lesser clubs like London Broncos and whatnot. It's caused a little bit of consternation, but they've got a bit to work out. But I think it'd be a great move.
There was talk around some teams getting the Rissole. That would be very, very hard, but I don't know what they do there. Anyway, one of the best games you'll ever see, 1985 Challenge Cup, Kenny, Chicka Ferguson, Peter Sterling.
Well, mate, if you go back and watch that game where Brett Kenny was in all sorts because they were saying he was disrespecting
the
tradition, right. Had his hands in his pockets running on the field.
That's right.
Wouldn't take his hands out of his pocket to shake royalty's hands. And they said, well, this lad obviously doesn't want to be here. And when he scored the second try to get Lance Todd Trophy, they went, ah, look at this man, Brett Kenny. This lad knows how to preserve energy.
He does.
Matthew John's there doing his best impression of being on Father Ted, by the sounds of things.
My worry isn't, when I say my only worry, I'd rather we were good enough to do it ourselves. But if they did take a 33% interest, if it was for generally holistic ideas of making everything better, my only worry would be if they decided to scrap the cap on overseas and suddenly have 8 or 9 or 10 Aussies as a feeder team playing for Warrington. That wouldn't solve anything.
Maybe we'll have a draft. Maybe they'll put up like, you know, a bit like the NFL.
Yes.
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Let me just write that for tackle.
I'm a bit worried about the people who are in our recruitment, who they'd pick in the draft. That could really...
Draft.
Should we cheer us all up and move on?
Oh, okay. All right, we'll do that then. Right, the review of St. Helens at home. The team was...
Hooray!
The team was exactly the same bar one person. The team was Dufty Thewlis, Ty King, Ashton Walker, Sneed Yates, Pal Vaughan, Russell Fitzgibbon and Curry. Interchange bench was Philby and Crowther and Musgrove. Wood disappeared again. In came Harrison. But there was also an 18th man in Ewan Irwin. So with Captain Williams confined below deck and away from the helm, could the Wire still sail to victory? Here's the highlights.
King will take the chance, first time of asking. Pushes defenders away, there's some slapness there.
I am sailing.
Walker switches to Curry. Curry now puts it back. Sneed's involved again. They've got the runners. They've got King. And they've got a finisher on the end of that in Matty Ashton.
Stormy waters to be near you.
Picks it up to Knowles. Whitby slings it back. Sailor, Percival, quick hands. And that is a smart try.
I am flying.
Sneed stepping. Oh, there was a read of an intercept potentially there from Percival. King gets it away. And look at the pace from Matty Ashton. He was burning the grass as he ran. And more numbers are to this right-hand side. Knowles now, Wellesby. Percival comes in, steps. Oh, brilliant! Absolutely brilliant!
I am dying forever crying.
To make the defensive effort a good one. Clark has had a dummy half. Percival's there. Needs to try and bludgeon his way over. Oh, has he got it down? Has he got it down? Well, they're confident that he has got it down. Curry throws it left. They've created space again here. And King puts it on a plate. A high flying plate. But Matty Ashton diving in. A poor pass. Oh, and it's Dufty. How did he keep hold of that? And then he gets it away to Thewlis. And Thewlis is being chased, but he's back on the inside. And Ty's lost his footing, but he's slid over the line. It is the most unlikeliest of tries. Walker. Oh, and just drawing the attention of defenders. Dufty's footwork is marvellous. cheers. Percival gets it away. Lovely. Lovely stuff.
Warrington 32, St Helens 18. There were tries for King. Ashton got a hat-trick. Tyan Dufty also got across the line. Kicks. Sneed kicked 2 from 3. Thulis also kicked 2 from 3. Referee was Liam Poor. And the attendance was 10,214. You were there, Sam?
I was.
Oh.
I was. It was a very, very strange night.
Oh.
It was a brilliant night, but it was a strange one.
Oh.
I went expecting very little. We saw the team, and again, to see no halfback, at least on the bench, left us feeling flat. Not one person I spoke to before the game, not one Warrington fan that I spoke to before the game, fancied us to win.
Just to clarify, Sam, were you pissed at this stage? Because when you say, when you spoke to him, I know what you're like when you're pissed. You're just like, yeah, I am a bit like that.
But I was driving. I was driving.
Okay.
I had one bottle of zero beer that was very fizzy, and I had one Pepsi Max, which was very fizzy.
God, his legs would be going after all that.
I know.
Foot tapping, Jesus.
Yeah. And
you spoke to a few people. Can I do those few people? Go on. I'll be someone on the concourse underneath. Yeah. Come over and ask me.
I'm just tagging along.
Do you fancy us tonight?
I don't fancy us tonight. No, I don't fancy us tonight. Yeah, no. Fucking no chance.
Go and ask someone.
That's basically word for word.
Ask a woman. Go ask one of the women. Perfect. Ask one of the women. Okay.
So,
James, you're right, Sam. You're right. I don't think we're going to win tonight. You're right.
There you go.
That was basically it. And so there was a very low expectation. And the only thing with Sensible Simon, who you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we spoke about...
He's got a catchphrase now. Do we need to make him a jingle?
Oh, that's a good point. Sensible Simon, yes. Well, Simon said...
Yeah.
He felt we were two teams low on confidence. And if one team managed to get on top... He fancied they could run away with it.
Is low on confidence, is that code for shit?
Struggling.
Struggling. Right. Okay.
Dennis, have you thawed out? Have you thawed out tonight? Because, I mean, Mr. Sankey has just been rabbiting on for the last 40 minutes.
I'm really enjoying tonight's episode. I'm sat here very relaxed, listening to you two. What?
You won't get paid this week for the amount you've interjected with.
Oh, right, okay. Well, I'll open my game.
I was just thinking, who owns What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Your name's on everything. How many patrons have we got? And don't remind, remind everybody.
We haven't had any for a few weeks because the link wasn't working. But it's working now, so no excuse. You can click on it now. You'll be fine. Dear. Well, this one was the other way around, Sam, because the statistics seem to show a mirror image of the Lee Wire game, but Saints pretty much beat us on everything. Completed sets, we had more, 31-23. But I don't know how we had more completed sets, but they had more carries. They had 169 carries to our 147.
Where are these numbers coming from?
Super League website.
You don't know where the... right.
It'd be interesting when the NRL take over how the numbers change.
Yeah.
I'm still completely a myth as to that. You know, when Danny Walker made about 70 tackles, we went back and watched it, and he made about 58. He was about 12 short of what they said. I think they it was Crowther. They kept adding Crowther's tackles on for Walker, but anyway, apparently it's a record now. So. If Norris McWhirter would have gone back and checked that.
He would have, wouldn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Norris McWhirter.
His brother got blown up by the IRA, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah, he had a twin brother. He got blown up by the IRA for his political views. Pretty sure he did.
Well, there's a happy
I'm just sorry. I was waiting for a punchline.
No.
No, there isn't.
No. Didn't Roy Castle get lung cancer because he played in clubs?
Yeah.
Where are you going with all this? Oh, Roy Castle did the Guinness Book of Records. I get it. Yes, yeah. Very good. Yeah.
Record breakers.
Now? Who was the one that did, you know, they all jumped into the pool. We are the champions. What was his name?
Ron Pickering.
Ron Pickering.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I used to love that, get that programme, We Are the Champions.
You couldn't get away with it now, OHS. They'd kick that out. There's no way.
You'd all the kids in the pool had blocked out faces six because of the, they'd not signed.
Six of them had nosebleeds when they got to the other end because they'd had elbows in the face. Just what?
Maybe did Ron Pickering do Superstars?
Yes, with David Icke. David Icke?
No, not David Icke. But you're right, it was David.
No one Google it. No one Google it. Come on, we can get this. He also did Ski Sunday.
He did.
Yeah. Oh, that's become a real magazine show now. Used to just get to the start of the race on Ski Sunday. You'd watch about 30 of them go down. All the seeds would go down, and then you'd watch the ones outside the seeding that possibly could win or went into the barriers and broke their necks. And it was all like, now it's like this magazine program. They're all like white teeth
But not just that. It was always on BBC Two, and then one week suddenly it was on BBC One because Konrad Bartelski had won.
Oh, yeah. And they didn't win, Sam. He came second.
He came second, did he?
Yeah, he came second. We never had a winner. He actually, when he got second, all the seeds had gone
David
down.
David Vine. I just got my phone.
Is he doing the snooker?
He did the snooker as well, didn't he?
Is he not doing the snooker this week?
I think he'd be dead by now.
I think he is, yeah.
I've not seen Tony Meo on the snooker this week.
Oh, fuck off.
Anyway, back to bloody Warrington St Helens.
Right, okay.
I've got a lot of info on this.
Hang on, let me just finish
off. That's what we're
trying to... Sam Burgess told Jenna Brooks on Sky, brace yourselves, I'm lost for words. Mm. They were so resilient tonight. Oh, yes. They were so resilient. Little tingle went down my spine when I heard that.
And they were.
Oh, dear.
And they were. Can I say, I felt this was a game of the centres. I felt this game was won and lost at centre.
No, you can't say that. Edit it out.
Well, I've said it. So this game was won and lost at centre. And I'm going to run you through it very quickly. So if you want to end up editing it out, or if the listener wants to fast forward 2 minutes, they may do now.
Do you want some music for this? Shall I put some okay. All right.
Minute four, Rod Tye, big tackle on Percival. Minute seven, Rod Tye, big run out of defence. Minute 13, Toby King, try. Minute 18, big tackle from Ty again. Minute 20, oof. King assist for Ashton.
Oh.
All of these, the defence, Sambo of... Sambu.
Who?
Of Sambu. I don't know what his first name is. Of Saints was struggling defensively. But then they switched and Percival moved over that side. Percival, quick pass for Saint to score. King, good play for Ashton to score. Percival made an error.
Is this in Percival real time?
Percival then stole my notes.
Percival stood up King. King was left grasping air for Percival to score.
Where's the statistics in all this?
Percival scored just before half time with about three men on him.
I think he's done a
timeline. King again put Ashton away to score.
I think he wants to bring the timeline back, doesn't he?
Percival correctly given that his foot was out in touch.
What are we up to?
Albeit he was pulled back.
What minutes are we up to, Sam?
That's 60, I think.
62 minutes.
Yeah.
Rod Tye scuttles in to score. Scuttles in like Scooby Doo. Dufty then scored, but Dufty scored and Sambu. Missed the tackle.
You really struggle with that one, don't you?
I do, because I'm trying to be careful. I'm saying it wrong. Minute 72, Percival passed to his winger again, and 78. God. There was a no try because there was no centre involved, and it was Vaughan. And it now if I move quickly on.
Oh Jesus!
Not even finished.
No, if I move quickly on. You may have noticed there was a couple. There was a couple of very slow video referee decisions.
All right. Were they which longer, made longer than your timeline.
Even longer than my timeline. Which made me go back through the pain of actually recording how long they took.
To do. Nothing better to do than record the video. I mean, it's infuriating the first time round.
Yeah.
Do you know, there was 666 seconds of video referee in that game.
What's that in minutes?
666, Dennis.
666. Which averaged 133 seconds per decision, which was 2 minutes 13 seconds.
That's 11 minutes, over 11 minutes of decision.
Well, give you some context. Ryan Bevin scored 740 tries for Warrington.
Oh, Jesus.
And 46% of Warrington's tries this year have gone to video ref.
Fucking
so
hell.
If 46% of Brian Bevin's tries went to Vivio ref at 1 minute 33 seconds per decision.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's over 12 and a half hours.
Oh, Brian brilliant.
would I be stood the there waiting. So that's over 9 games that Brian Bevin would be stood there waiting for decisions on his tries.
Oh, that's not bad, that, Rob. He brought it back there.
He brought it back. He did. Well done, Sam. Well done, Sam. Round 9 Super League results then. Leeds 14. I forgot to buy the helium balloon, but I do promise Jonathan Davis will read out next week's. Okay.
Oh, yes.
Leeds 14, Hull KR 20, Huddersfield 12, Cass 30. What's the point of Huddersfield?
Don't
Catalans 24, Wakefield 20, Salford 6, Lee 28, and Hull 12, Wigan 36. So it leaves the table like this. Huddersfield are bottom, still haven't won, 0 points. Salford in 11th on 2, Cass in 10th on 4, Wakefield in 9th on 8. Then we have 4 teams on 10 points, separated only by points difference. Warrington are in 8th, Catalans in 7th, Leeds in 6th, Saints in 5th. Hull are in 4th on 11 points, Lee in 3rd on 13, Wigan in 2nd on 14, and out on top with 8 wins and only 1 loss this season are Hull KR on 16 points.
Mm. It's an interesting table at this time of year, isn't it? I mean, with Sam Burgess has been exempt from our criticism till he gets to 10 games, so he's only got one more game to go now, and then we can start laying into him. And when you think about pundits, what do you think about John Wilkins' comments at the end of the Saints game? I mean, he was like,
At least he wasn't sitting on the fence, wasn't he? Kicking off about the. I did look at. Because I mentioned this to my dad. I said, was it the Percival try, which wasn't a try, where Ashton held him back?
Correct, yes.
And I said to my dad, he held him back for about 4 metres. And my dad went, no, you're exaggerating. He doesn't talk like that, but that's what he said. So I did go back and have a look, and he does get hold of him about 3 metres from the start of the try line.
Yes.
It's only a very, very subtle hold, but it's not.
But
just
he does hold him, you are right.
He holds him all the way in, all the way through the try line. He's got hold of him, but he's also got hold of him before he gets into the try line, so.
I like what John Wilkins doing in terms of like he is trying to press the buttons. I think where it doesn't work is when he's got his team on there, obviously ex-Saints player and what have you, that it just looks like it's sour grapes. But, he does come out with, the obvious things, and he's quite provocative, isn't he? So,
but sour grapes are good as well, aren't they? Sour, it's better than bloody John Wells. What did I turn on? I turned on the whole Wigan game, and it was John Wells doing the comment. And he just doesn't shut up. He just talks.
We'll get to tackle bags soon, and I've got the solution in tackle bags today, so we'll cover that in a bit.
We did have a look at Burgess's record against the top teams. So I went back last year, looked at all the games Warrington had played last season and the games they've played so far this season to see which teams Wire have beaten, depending on where that team is in the table. Now, this is based on not on the position prior to them playing them. It's based on where their position landed at the end of the day after Warrington had played them. So right, that okay. was the only way I could get it to work. But in 2024, Warrington beat most teams ranked 8.45 or below and lost to most teams ranked 3.86 or above. This far, after the nine rounds, Warrington have beaten most teams ranked 7.2 or below and have had most losses to teams ranked fourth or above. But across both seasons, Sam Burgess is yet to beat a team ranked one or two.
Mm. And you shared that with us a few days ago. And one of the things John Wilkin was talking about before the match was whether Warrington can actually do it in a big game.
Mm.
And maybe he's been spying on your WhatsApp feed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've said it for a long time. We I mean, it's the same when we bet every week. You sort of look who we're against. And I mean, we'll come to the betting in a little while. I'm putting a big bet on this week. It's yeah, we just that team at the moment, you've got Walker in there and we've got people who are disjointed out of position and certain players are not playing to the same strengths as they were last year. You're always going to struggle against the one or two because they're always in form, aren't they? They're the two that will show you up.
I feel if I look back to last year, if I look back over the time Burgess had been there, I felt the best version of us did not show up at Wembley.
Mm.
I do feel the best version of us showed up at Hull KR in the playoff and we just lost out.
Yeah.
It was a very close game. But the best version of us did not show up at Vegas, did it?
No. Someone pointed, I can't remember who it was, but someone sent me a message this week to say that Burgess doesn't do the coaching. Gleeson does the coaching.
Yeah, going forward, definitely an attack.
Burgess is just the motivational side of things.
Mm. Mm.
So, who knows? Who knows?
That's better put with a bit of dampener and everything, hasn't it?
Oh, Madam Boyd, what did the nurse say?
Well, the nurse there said he's aggravated his vocal cords.
Oh, dear. Did she say what would have caused it?
Don't worry, nurse, just tonsillitis.
Oh, that's great.
It's a little bit of a surprise when you're surrounded by so many cocksuckers.
Oh, talking of which, I better go and tell Sammy. Oh, Samuel, I thought I'd better come by. It's an unmitigated disaster. Our lead singer, George, has come down with he's got a sore throat. Oh, and just when we were getting ready for our really exciting one-off Wembley record. I mean, I was convinced, Sammy, it would go to the top of the hit parade. And Pam's people would dance to the single on top of the pops. And I know, Sammy, just how much you were looking forward to seeing Gina Brooks in a leotard.
Talking of leotards, Walter, and what with George out of action, I was thinking of playing the Wire Flyer in the Arves.
Oh, tackle socks. Although, with Ollie Leyland living up to his name and misfiring, I was thinking of putting a half-back job vacancy in the Warrington Guardian. But with all those pop-ups flashing up whilst completing the application form, I accidentally ordered 4 dozen boxes of Viagra. Having said that, at least I'm now the only primrose and blue vein stiffening up for a crack at Old Trafford.
I could always get our halfback to gargle from a concocted salty liquid.
Sorry, Samuel. Are we still talking about George's sore throat or the alleged Richie Myler's misdemeanour with a...
Listen up, Ralpho. I'm only an apprentice. There were bound to be moments when my mixing desk would go completely on the blink. If only you'd realise this.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Can we not delay the launch of the record, Ralphie? I'm sure Beethoven had his setbacks.
Yes. Ironically, it cries for a couple of big props at Warrington have fallen on deaf ears.
How about we bring in a choir, you know, to drown out George's broken chords?
Oh, I'm not sure that's a good idea, Samuel. Oh, the last time I tried to get in Mr. Smith's wearing cards, the bouncer knocked me into next week. Besides, Samuel, choirs need conducting. You can't get prickly when you've dropped the baton. Con te io li rivivrò, con te partirò. Wait a minute, Samuel. Where on earth is that beautiful voice coming from?
Oh, that'll be Andrea Bocelli. Turns out his second cousin owns the Italian in Stockton Heath.
Oh, Piccolino's?
No, Pizza Express. I could see if he's free to replace George on the record.
Oh, yes. What an excellent idea. While you're at it, see if he can play halfback. I mean, let's face it, at the moment, it's the blind leading the blind anyway.
Well, I did wonder where this was going.
No,
so did we.
Yeah, and I did hear the underlying, was it Time to Say Goodbye or something like that, the song's called, something like that.
Oh, right, okay.
And I heard that underlying and I thought, could this be going...
He's read far too much into this, Rob.
He's gone way too much into it.
And then we ended up with the comment, it's the blind leading the blind, and we finished with a beautiful bit of music. So that turned it around for me, because I was getting a bit lost partway through there, and it really, really brought it
down. We did have a meeting with our lawyers about the Richie Myler legend comment.
What? I didn't actually hear anything about that.
Good, excellent.
Yeah. Very good.
Is there an unredacted version of that floating
just for,
around?
Just for the patrons.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want to become a patron, the link is now working. Can I just point that out?
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
As we are now a third of the way through the Super League season, I thought I'd take a weather check on what's hot and what's not so far. Starting with a scorching, blistering hot summer's day, I've got the two Hull teams. Hull KR have made a sensational start to the season as they look to go one better than the grand final runners-up spot last year. With strike centre Oliver Gildart, Man of Steel halfback Mikey Lewis combining with new recruit from Catalans Artur Morg, they have played some lovely rugby league and look to have the steel and tenacity to perhaps go one better than last season. Similarly, their City rivals Hull FC have made a really good start to the campaign and look worlds away from finishing 11th like they did last year. Their forward Herman Ezeheze has arguably been the best player in Super League so far this season. One rung below, a warm day but not scorching. We've got England versus Australia. How great to have some international rugby league to look forward to, and at fantastic football stadiums like Wembley and the new Everton ground. I just think it's a little bit of a shame that Headingley was picked for the third test. Why have the most important game at the smallest of the three venues? Moving on now to a mild day. You'll need a coat, but not too many layers. We've got the Warrington Wolves. Three wins over St Helens and progression to the Challenge Cup semi-final means that it can't really be described as a disaster of a season, but equally, Wyre have hardly been convincing in any of their matches. There is work for Sam Berger to do if he wants to repeat the success of finishing third and getting to a Wembley final last season. Now, a chilly breeze, you'll need a hat and scarf for this one. We've got the video referees. Too many games are taking ages to finish because video referees are looking at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 angles and replays of the same shot and then ultimately reaching the same conclusion that the on-field referee initially gave. It's a waste of time, it looks unprofessional and amateur, and nobody needs this anymore. Speed up, guys. And finally, icy snow. Get your hat, your scarf, your gloves, every layer you can find. It's the Salford situation. What a sad state of affairs that a team that finished fourth last season and now look almost certain to finish bottom this campaign due to circumstances that are largely out of their control. They've lost many of their best players like Mark Snead and Callum Watkins, and fans have been shortchanged, particularly those that have bought season tickets.
There is a heatwave in Humberside. Daniel predicting a warm Ashes test series. You'll need a coat for Wyre's mild season so far. It's hat and scarf attire for the video referees. And finally, ice, snow and a bitterly cold wind blowing through Salford. Yeah.
A couple of things I'd like to pick on. Daniel, as always, doing a picking up. I don't know. He's very good at sort of being diverse in the way he presents this information. Yes. I like it. Yeah. It does raise a point. Why are we playing the third test at Headingley? And is that because
it's a dead rubber?
It's a dead rubber. We decided that 2 weeks ago.
Oh, did we? Oh, yeah. Right. I can't remember that bit. All right,
You could put Wembley as the third if you had the balls to think it's going to be one all, but.
Yeah, I think that's what Daniel was intimating, wasn't it?
I'm surprised they're not playing it at Vicky Park.
To be fair, if somehow it is one all, if Aussies have a bad day and we just have a day where everything goes right, like we have occasionally over the last 30 years, then Headingley will be an electric atmosphere close to the pitch.
Well, We actually, many years ago, had an influence on the score, or possibly had an influence on an Ashes score. We had a group of mates who went to watch, I think the game was at Ellen Road.
Yeah.
And they booked into the standard hotel there near Ellen Road, only to discover that the Australian team was staying on the same floor as them.
Excellent.
And they all came back hammered, not the Australian team, these are our mates, they all came back hammered at about 2 a.m. to find that all the Australian players had left their boots outside the room to be cleaned. So, for some reason, I think it was Ettinghausen, but it couldn't have been Ettinghausen. Whoever was kicking the goals, they pinched his boots, took them into the room, smeared them from head to toe in shaving foam and put them back outside. And he missed all the kicks that afternoon at Ellen Road. And on one occasion, he slipped over as he was taking a kick. So, over the day.
A hair's breadth away.
What was that? What was that nightclub called that was kind of, you know where the Co-op used to be? What's that little road down by the side of the Co-op? Was it Evergreens or it was upstairs?
Where are you now?
You mean in Warrington?
Yeah, yeah. So
come the clubhouse, and then Evergreens.
Yeah. Come past where Woolworths was, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're heading towards the Golden Gates. Yeah. And then you turn down, it was on the
down
left.
Down Bowl Street.
Yeah,
yeah, Evergreens.
And we were going up there into the club. and Wally Lewis and Mal Meninga were coming down from... There was no one in there at all. They'd obviously gone up there looking for Totti, but they'd been pulled out of Smith's because they had jeans on.
Curtis, yeah, I'm amazed you could get past them up them stairs. I don't think we could. It was quite tight.
But yeah, but they were all coming down as we were going up. Yeah. So that was it. Sorry, Dennis.
No, no, I just, you know, anecdotes from the past, eh? Bloody hell, you remember them. Anyway, the other thing was, Daniel was bringing up the video refs. Have you got anything on video refs you want to talk about now, Sam, just so I can get myself prepared?
Well, do you know that the average amount of time taken... go on, move on.
I think this is Daniel's best season.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I do like it. I do like what he did today.
Could we... Is this politically correct for me to say, could we come home with an Indian summer? Am I allowed to say that anymore? Is that...
I don't see why not.
Okay, excellent. Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll come home with an Indian summer then. I don't think we're currently... we're having a mild season, so I wouldn't say it was a mild season. I'd say it's been a bit wet, hasn't it, for Warrington? Wouldn't say it's...
Well, mild. I've definitely gone down from 70 to 60 with George Williams being out long-term.
Oh.
Despite the excellent, resilient performance against St Helens.
I still think Hull are a bit of a facade. I don't think they are.
Yes, I agree. I think we were poor against them.
They're not as good as what everyone makes out. So, yeah. And it's always bitterly cold in Salford, isn't it? Even in the middle of summer, it's...
Oh, Salford's fucked. Let's be honest. They lost another player this week. Atkins gone now or something. I don't know how many players they've got left, if I'm honest. What's the point? They're on about... Sydney Roosters are on about buying them.
Yeah. Are they?
All this lot.
Have they been over to have a look at them? That's not a wise move.
Probably not. Been on ski slope.
It's like when the Americans bought London Bridge rather than Tower Bridge. You know, that sort of feeling, isn't it? They want to do some research before they buy Salford. Christ.
Maybe they've just seen the Wrexham Disney TV programme and feel they should do that.
Yeah. Fair enough. God. We're going to do this shit all year.
We've got tackle sags to come, yeah.
Oh, for...
Yes, come on.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Tackle sacks, a go.
Right, so let's have a look at the tackle sag score. I think we've all articulated our preference to say, you know what, the players are doing a good job. So I can't see many, sort of points coming out here today, unless anybody has got anything that they'd like to offer. Rob, come on, what do you want to...
Well, I think based on the information that came through this week, Gleeson's doing the coaching. He's really going under the radar. So can we give Gleeson 1 point?
Yeah, that's no problem. Right, Gleeson, 1 point. I'm surprised it's only 1 point, but, you know, take that. Sam, have you got
How long is Sneed out for, do we know?
Oh, God, well, yeah.
Broken... Oh, we didn't talk about that, did we?
He's done his eye socket, hasn't he? Oh,
however many weeks he misses, I want to give him negative points because he headbutted his own player's elbow.
Is he allowed to wear a mask like on Phantom of the Opera? Because didn't Messi wear a mask for a long time?
Yes, a lot of footballers do.
You can't really wear a mask in rugby league, can you? It's going to get ripped off.
Nah, you don't need a mask. He's out for about 6 or 7 weeks without...
Right, six or 7 points for Sneed then. Enough to headbutt your own player's elbow.
He was on zero, but Sam's ruined that. Right, well, I'm going to give Philbin another 3 points because he's shit. And the other thing, I've given 3 points to Musgrove based on his stats. I agree. I feel like when he's on the pitch, he's really offering a bit of like go forward and stuff. Mm. But stats don't lie, do they, Sam? Do they lie? What's the saying you've got?
There are lies, damn lies, and there are statistics.
Statistics. And on Sagwatch,
he only made 6 more carries than me in the Saints game.
Than you? Mm. What were you carrying?
Well, I didn't carry anything, but he only made 6 more carries than I did.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, got it now. Sagwatch is going on Powell. Now he's playing a full game. I think we're seeing the limitations of Sam Powell. His defence isn't that great. Again, another one in the line.
It's a bit like this. I know Celebrity Traitors is about to start, but the ones that do well on... I mean, normally the thick ones do really well on Celebrity Traitors. It's he who shouts the loudest stays on the show. But there's also some that always go under the radar every week. And I think we've got a few traitors amongst the team that just go under the radar every week.
Well, it is on Sagwatch, so he's not going under any fucking radar now.
Would you know? I've booked a holiday in the Lake District. We're going up to Borrowdale, and you know, very keen. Little Master of London's very keen to see the Harrier jump jets and the Jaguars fly through the valleys. Yes. You know, because they practice. Yeah. They fly under the radar.
Yeah.
When Leon Hayes comes back, will he be running under the radar? Will that be?
I would pretty much guarantee he'd be under the radar.
If you could, I wonder if we could breed off Leon Hayes and young Irwin, because young Irwin was like a bit of a stick man when he came in, wasn't he?
Well, Dennis said he was an L.S. Lowry figure.
Yeah.
We got ChatGPT to do a lovely picture of him. It was very good.
Yeah.
But Leon Hayes has got thighs like Andy Gregory and cars like Andy Gregory. So we can merge the two of them. We might have a glorious player there.
Yeah.
Where has he come from, this Irwin, Ewan Irwin?
Lee.
Well, I went back because, you know...
I don't know Lee Miners, but someone like Lee Miners.
I went back and looked at the that game that I watched when they played Souths, and he wasn't in the starting... He wasn't in that team. There is another Ewan, but he's got a different surname, so unless he's changed his surname. And then I looked at them when they played against Wests, which I didn't go to, and he wasn't in that game either. So I don't think he toured with them the other year. He must be quite a recent buy, is he?
He's only 17. And just on that note, whilst it's a big step down, our reserves are currently unbeaten this year. They won by a lot.
Who's coaching
against St. Helens.
Who's coaching the reserves?
Is that suddenly what you want to put on watch?
Yes. Yeah,
we think he's our next coach. Or she.
Well, it's likely to be he, but, you know. right. Anyway, tackle bags this week. I put the vote out last week to what subject would like to be covered this week on tackle bags. And the response was huge in our email box that came through. Rob passed it on.
Just a quick point on that. I don't seem to have had any emails from Simon Moran this week. So he's clearly still working on the Oasis tickets. But I am checking every day, Simon. So just whenever you want
That's good. So, yeah, any of you patrons out there, including Simon, you need to sort Rob out with his tickets. But Rogue Wire has chosen the tackle bag subject this week. Congratulations. You'll be getting your signed T-shirt in the post an exclusive patron member. It's the tackle bags white on black writing. White writing on a black T-shirt. It says tackle sags for drop balls. So that's the logo you'll be taking home. Anyway, this week he voted for AI commentary. I know it's been mentioned before. We've all worked on this at some point or other on the podcast. And here we have at the Watt Bevan Laboratory, we have been using our in-house AI HAL to run software and learning models for AI commentary on our system. The new system, called Artificial Neuro Utility Speech, is going to be released as part of our Watt Bevan range. It's been trained on a number of available commentators and can be programmed in a variety of speech patterns. You can choose from a number of settings to enhance your rugby league experience. You can choose from positive, negative, impartial, aggressive, passive, relaxed, chirpy, sexy, and my favourite, drunk. So you can choose any of those settings for your particular commentator. The learning model is also available with live commentary, allowing you to respond to the live pundit in the commentary, where the advanced features such as sarcasm, witticisms and stating the bleeding obvious can also be selected to interact with your live game. So the artificial neutral utility speech system, I'll call it ANUS for short, it also allows the commentary to be diverted from the game when the video ref decision is underway. Oh. Programmed to recite the works of Isaac Asimov, who had about 500 books. So it should be enough to keep you occupied during all the video ref seasons for this year.
How do we get this, Dennis? How do we get it?
Well, we're still working on that. But what do you think of the idea?
So I like I like it a lot. I think is there a John Wells setting?
Well, you've probably just jumped the gun a little bit there. I am going to be obviously writing to the NRL about this new initiative, looking to implement our new anus commentary for 2027.
Will you be sending the full anus to the NRL or just a third?
I think we'll go. We might just go a third. Two thirds we're going to send them, because the only thing at the moment, we've only got the voice rights for Barry McDermott and Terry O'Connor. Yeah. But, you know, they're the only options at the moment. But we have, I believe, about to secure the voice of John Wells. But we just need to work out what the shit he's been spouting out for the past 10 years so we can train Hal up. So there you go. It's a brilliant idea, and it got me thinking: would you have a female version of this? Mm. And you know, we talked about female commentators because I don't want that nasally fucker that comes on and she's just
nasally fucker.
Sorry,
Jesus.
Sam put his hand up. Then you might have to cut that bit, I think. Anyway, I had a thought. Who would you have as a female voice? Mm. And I've got two.
Oh, yes.
Dingy. So,
please won't be misogynistic at all. Go on. Yeah.
No. Have a think. There's one who's doing the snooker at the moment. Her name's Seema Jaswell. She's pretty good. Yeah. And the one who does the cricket.
Isha.
Isha Goose. Nice.
She's been
voted as a top commentator, female commentator. Wow. Anyway, yeah. So I do like her voice. And that's the sort of female voices I think we should be aiming for.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're very good.
I messaged the group. I had a bit of a surprise the other Sunday morning when I listened to some Australian commentary and Ruan Sims.
Ashton Sims' sister.
And it was Ashton and Tarek Sims' sister. Yeah. She was very good, I have to say.
ABC Grandstand, yeah. Could we add maybe
It's Jenny,
Jenny Agata to that list of voices?
It can be done. It can be done. But we probably need to ask Simon again for a bit of extra funding.
At the start of the podcast, we had Dave Woods mentioning Scooby-Doo.
Yes.
So I sent a little message to Dave Woods, said you're going to be on the pod this week. And he actually wrote back and said, I thought the performance was more Scrappy-Doo than Scooby-Doo. I used to fucking hate Scrappy-Doo. What a little cunt that was.
Oh, dear. Makes my comment sound all right, doesn't it?
Predictions.
Afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Next up for Wyatt is the Magic Weekend with a trip to St James's Park, Newcastle, to play the reigning Super League champions Wigan. The game against the Pieters is scheduled for Sunday with a 3:15 p.m. kickoff. Before we take a flutter, here's Hal with a history lesson.
Let it not be forgotten, the historical reason Wiganers are called pie eaters. In 1926, there was a general strike in the UK. Wigan was a major coal mining town, and it's believed that miners in Wigan were among the first to go back to work, breaking the solidarity of the strike. Other more upstanding mining communities, however, held out, unlike the Wiganers who had swallowed their humble pie. Hence the term, pie eaters. It's believed this desertion lives on in Wigan today, as the feeble genetic imbalance can be seen in the famous Wigan Walk. What a bunch of scabs.
Well, there you have it. I mean, Hal's not forgotten. My grandma never forgot that. Oh, she used to bring that up all the time. She'd never forgotten that. Never forgotten it. So, anyway. Right, well, the betting. Well, I put a big bet, didn't I, on Lee, and it came in good. So I am back in the black, boys. I won £60 last week. So I'm on £132.73. Dennis is on £88.23. And Sam is on £89.
Yeah, I got mine the wrong way round, didn't I?
2 pence, yeah. Okay, so Williams is out, Sneed's out, Ashton's banned, Lindop's out. Dislocated fingers last week for Powell and Fitzgibbon. King apparently playing on one leg.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a worry, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Would you like me to go first with me being the
I think
you should. Current leader? Right. I'm going to have £95 on on a Wigan win.
Mm.
And I'll have 50p on Musgrove, who probably won't play.
Oh. That's interesting, isn't it? How much have you got? 95. Oh, you're all right there, aren't you?
Did I say 95? Did I? Did I want to say
you did.
95? Yeah, 95. Yeah. Right. 95 on Wigan, Musgrove, 50p. I'm just making a note of that. Right.
Well,
isn't it?
I thought King was probably one of our best players. You know, I did agree with Sam when he was giving us his timeline thing. The other thing as well is I thought Curry was, you know, I said he was shit the other week. I thought he was actually excellent the last week. Yeah. I think. Put him in the right position, and he does a good job. So, but now we're really clutching at straws. So it's Wigan, £10, please, and Dan Russell, £5 first try, please. He's obviously back in the team.
He played well. We haven't mentioned Dan Russell.
He did actually. He did all right.
He made a lot of tackles, didn't he? A lot of tackles. Mm.
Mm.
I did think about that Dan Russell though, and I was watching the absolute scouse wankathon they had on Match of the Day 2 this week. But I thought, you know, if you look at that United...
Hey, how it is, eh?
Look at that United team. How many of that United team get in the Liverpool team at the moment? Maybe the Portuguese captain, if he didn't spit his dummy every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anyone else that Liverpool would be queuing up for to get hold of. And that brought me back to Dan Russell. Like, how many of that Warrington team at the moment would Wigan want to poach? Who would they want, Sam? They'd want Ashton.
Definitely Ashton.
If you had to put them in the starting 17, so I'm sure they'd love Dufty, but I don't think they'd swap Dufty for Field.
Well, that's one thing I was going to say. Dufty, clearly, but they've got someone virtually the same.
Yeah,
it's slightly different style, but virtually
King?
The same.
Would they want King?
They probably want King at a good price, wouldn't they?
No, but to start, probably not.
What about Vaughan? Would this Vaughan?
They'd
get
want.
Into that?
Yes.
And Walker.
I think they'd have Vaughan, and they'd have Walker.
So we got
and
three.
They might have George Williams.
Yeah. Okay. So four. Four. Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay.
As a starting lot.
Yeah. Dan Russell.
Do you think anybody else?
Dan Russell on the edge, maybe? Seventh, number 17, 18th man? No? Okay. Yeah, come on, Sam. Your go. What are we going for?
Well, I have to say, Rob, I'm with you, and I'm going to go a bit more than Dennis. I'm going to go £75 on a Wigan win.
Yes. Watch this. Two red cards for Wigan and Warrington just snapped.
That would be, that would. I would give up 75 quid of my own money for that. Ooh, that would be, would you? Yeah, you know. And I'll go Danny Walker.
Oh.
With a pound.
A pound on Walker. Right. Okay.
What Would Brian Bevan Say condones all types of gambling, prostitution, drug abuse and people from witness. For more help, go to www.mind.org.uk.
Okay, that's it. We'll be back next week. But until then, unlike the desertion of those spineless Wiganers, it's a solidarity so long from Sam.
All the best.
A communist comrade handshake from Dennis.
For seeing you, comrades.
And it's a podcaster's shoulder to shoulder, united we stand, goodbye from me. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say? Can I just point out, boys, if the BBC do come knocking for me, I will drop you two like a bag of shit.
Dennis, that's probably our only way out, to be fair.
Mm. There's power in a factory, power in the land, power in the hand of the worker. But it all amounts to nothing if together we don't stand there. We must fight for from the cities and the farmlands to trenches full of mud. War's always been the boss's wiser. Sisters, many